Sports.com.
While our countries may be separated by a great ocean, in the realm of the spirit, we will always be neighbors and friends.
The president makes his way to the Middle East at the Holy Land, gets heckled in one of the speeches as he tries to tell young Israelis.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that they need to reach out to their Palestinian brothers. Hey, everybody, it's Free for All Friday. Thank goodness. Kate Delaney hanging with you here across this great land on America Tonight. You can always throw in your 2 cents at 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. So we're going to talk a little bit about that Middle East trip, which it's interesting. It coincided with the fact that you've got Iran's Khamenei threatening to annihilate Tel Aviv. So it's not just Mahmoud Ahmadinejad anymore. Now, and of course, Khamenei was always in on this anyway, but the timing of it, hey, let's annihilate Israel. So Obama's speaking to Israeli students in Jerusalem. And just 1,000 miles away, the supreme leader issues a threat to the coastal cities of Tel Aviv and Haifa, saying, you know, this is the specific quote, at the time the officials of the Zionist regime threaten to launch a military invasion, they themselves know that if they make the slightest mistake, the Islamic Republic will annihilate both of those cities to the ground. You know, I'm telling you, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, is ready to trip the trigger. He is ready to go after Iran. And Netanyahu is saying that the U.S. is not going to stand in the way if Israel decided to take action. And we've got vulnerabilities and capabilities and all that kind of stuff. So Israel has a right to defend itself, whether the U.S. is on board or not. And I have a bad feeling about this one. If this continues to keep going in this direction, we might just see Iran and Israel explode in a war. Then it would be up to, well, who's going on what side, who's lining up with who. And the U.S. obviously would still line up with Israel, but how deep would we go? Anybody worried about that? I mean, for goodness sake, we're just getting out of Afghanistan in 2014, but you can't ignore the situation in Iran, or can you? We had a guest on just the other day who said, you know, why are we involved in that? If they want to have a nuke, shouldn't they just be allowed to have a nuke? Who are we to dictate to Iran? And as I start to think about it, I understand that theory in one sense, but in another sense, because of my distrust, dislike for Ahmadinejad, I don't think you have an enemies list. I'm sorry. You've got an enemies list, and he's on the top of the enemies list. How can you trust what this madman possibly could do? And the answer is you really can't trust it. All right, we also have some breaking news here at the top of the show, and there's very little details on this, but there's been a shooting at Quantico. The suspect is still at large. So think of that Marine base, and they're crawling all over trying to get more intel on the suspect, and they're trying to hunt that person down. But there was a shooting at Quantico. How about that? You think again, here we are with the military base. We just saw in 2009 what happened with Major Hassan, and of course that was in broad daylight when he opened fire. And luckily, because I think it's a good thing, the judge wasn't buying into what Hassan's lawyers anyway were trying to say, and there still is a chance that Hassan could ultimately, you know, go all the way through the military system, and as an army psychiatrist, he's the sole suspect in those shootings, he could ultimately go through this entire thing after the court ousted the trial judge, and now the judge also ruling that this has to move forward and that he could face the death penalty. So things are not falling the way that his defense team was hoping that it would fall. And that goes back to that whole insanity thing that often gets thrown up, which when you're the victim's families, it has to be infuriating to sit there and watch, you know, what's happening in the maneuvering of this stuff with Hassan. I want to make sure I give you the menu this hour. We're going to go to the mailbag. Got a ton of mail, but what else is new for America tonight? Many of you throwing in on what's going on with the budgets and Congress, and will there be an Easter egg roll? The people on the Hill decided they weren't going to fund the $74,000 a week White House tours, so that's been ixnayed. And there is really a good possibility that you might not have that Easter egg roll. I still think they'll do it. They'll just make it a lot smaller. Usually it's a huge thing. But I think this year they'll just try to compact it so they won't have to spend the money on too many of the agents, too many Secret Service guys that would have to, ultimately be crawling around and keep that wall of security happening, because that's what they're saying. They can't afford the protection. Isn't that crazy? So we can't afford the protection for the president anymore. We can't afford it. We have to, ultimately make sure the president is secure. This is what the Secret Service is saying. And we can't take that overtime up. So that means Easter egg roll probably has to be really, really contained. So mailbag, also talking about the gun battle that continues. It's like the Alamo up there in Washington. The Democrats are vowing to push for new background checks, serious background checks. And Republicans, a lot of them are saying, no way, why are we doing this? But even some Democrats are lining up against the background check thing because of the way that it is worded. Ultimately, you're selling your gun to your neighbor, and a lot of people on the Hill are saying, well, you know what, I understand about stopping the illegal flow, I understand about getting the straw man, I understand about background checks that are a little more stringent, but I don't understand that part of it. And then there's ultimately the fear that over-regulation will lead to massive problems and will mean that gun owners won't be able to maintain the permits that they have, and it'll be tougher. And so the other thing that we're going to throw in here too is another version of We Can Count. It's about the numbers ultimately, so we'll head for the numbers also at the tail end of the show, whether we're talking about the fact that it was 10 years ago the Iraq invasion started, or whether we're talking about the fact that you got a 90-year-old who's accused of punching a state trooper in Pennsylvania. So what would make a 90-year-old haul off and roundhouse a trooper in the Keystone State? Think about that. And that's one of our We Can Counts at the tail end of the show. But coming up next, we're talking about bicycling and the effect that what's been the effect of Lance Armstrong, and how about a lot of the corporations that are starting to do this as groups. Hang with us.
Prepared against possible food shortages and economic collapse is not complicated. Just remember two words: disaster stuff. Add .com after those two words and you've got just one site for all your preparedness needs. DisasterStuff.com prepares your family against food shortages with Linden Farms freeze-dried foods in buckets, or Gourmet Reserves freeze-dried food in number 10 cans, both with free shipping. Purify and rid your water of contaminants with a Big Berkey or other Berkey system and get free shipping, plus a water level spigot or fluoride filter at cost. And protect your radios and other electronics from EMPs with our EMP Faraday bags, starting at just $5.90. When the food shortages and economic instability happens, be ready with all your stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Just remember two words, DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there. I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNLive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Her hair is hollow gold, her lips sweet as pride. Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn the music on you. You won't have to think twice.
All right, it's only been a couple of months since Oprah Winfrey interviewed Lance Armstrong, and now all kinds of lawsuits are being leveled at Armstrong. And, of course, he was the beacon forever for Americans in racing with all the Tour de France's and whatnot and overcoming his battle with cancer. So he is definitely linked with cycling in the U.S., and that was considered to be a very good thing. More people jumped on bikes, and I think that's frankly true because they got excited about Armstrong. They started to watch the tour. They got, you know, more interested in riding in their local areas or got serious about it. I mean, even some serious riding. He was this guy that came seemingly to most people in the beginning out of nowhere and got a lot of attention for a sport that wasn't necessarily that popular. Then he confesses to doping. But how much damage has he heaped on the world of cycling? And it's hard to quantify this because it depends on who you talk to. And I've really gotten hooked into cycling, and I sort of liked it before. But I have to say Armstrong really pulled me into it. So two-time national champion cyclist Mark Waite says there's still hope for the struggling sport, and he has a really cool thing that he's doing. He's now, as a member of the 1988 U.S. Olympic cycling team, he is now a business exec and the founder of Cycling CEO, a network of business execs who share that passion for jumping on the bike. Thanks so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it. We probably pulled you off your bike, Mark, somewhere.
A little late, Mark. Kate, but thanks for having me.
So let's go back to you and cycling. What was it that hooked you on the sport and got you to the point where, I mean, hey, a two-time national cycling champ, part of the U.S. team, that's huge. People covet those spots. So you were at really the top of the heap. How did you get interested in the first place?
I actually was a runner. I came out of high school as a distance runner, and I went to West Point, and I ran my first 2 years there, and I got three stress fractures in 2 years while I was in my first 2 years at the academy, and I realized that I needed to find something else. And I had this competitive streak in me and just was looking for something different. Kind of was my nature back then. I you know, people say, why did you study nuclear engineering? It was like, well, because nobody else did it. It was different. Same reason I took up cycling. It was like something I hadn't done before, and I thought I'd give it a try. And, you know, 4 years later, I'm like, wow, you know, I made pretty good progress in a short period of time.
Yeah. Boy, great progress in a short period of time. And when you were cycling, was there lots of conversations about doping? Were people talking about that?
No, in through the 80s, it was an interesting, a good question and an interesting path, because in the 80s, there really wasn't a lot. The story that came out in the mid to late 80s was around, you know, what the U.S. team did at the 84 Olympics around, you know, the whole blood doping story, which was proven to be true, but at that time it wasn't illegal. You know, that was the most you ever heard about it. And then you'd hear about, you know, kind of rumors with the European professionals, you know, they were doing stuff, but more around like amphetamines and things like that, that they would take, you know, they would take to keep themselves going day in and day out in 3 week races like the Tour de France. But nothing really that, you know, like is, you know, come out in the last 10 years or so around with the use of steroids and testosterone and EPO and human growth hormones and, you know, all this calf blood stuff, you know, all these other derivatives that exist out there. You know, this stuff didn't exist then. You know, it's just kind of like, you know, your typical, you know, illegal drugs that people would use.
Yeah. The question I was asking at the top of this is, if people think of Armstrong now with doping and with the disgrace of the sport, can the sport bounce back? Is cycling, you know, damaged for good?
No, and that's a great question. I look at it and say there's two aspects to this. One is there's the aspect of where Lance was at and the professional level. And there's a lot that needs to be done, because those riders and those racers are still being eyed with suspicion. And until riders like Lance, and then there's a big trial going on in Spain, or it's called Operation Puerto. Mm-hmm. You may, I don't know if you recall it, but
yes.
A few years ago they busted this doctor, and he had dozens upon dozens of professional athletes, not just cyclists, but tennis players, footballers/soccer players, you know, other athletes that were custom clients of his as well. And, you know, that trial has just gone to trial in Spain, and they're not going after the athletes. They're actually going after the doctor and his associates. Whether the athletes get punished or not, who knows? So you've got this air of suspicion about the professional athletes, and are they really clean? Is the sport cleaning up? Cycling has made efforts to move forward in that direction, to clean up the sport with biological passports, tougher testing standards. Unfortunately, it's kind of like we take two steps forward and one step back. Now, and that's one level, and that's kind of, you know, that's the bigger part of the business of cycling, around sponsorship and getting corporations into the sport. Because we're seeing companies leave the sport because of all the doping scandal, and they feel like, hey, we're getting screwed in the process. You know, we're putting money into supporting the sport, believing in these athletes, and then we find out that they're winning by illegal means. I had a conversation with a company here in California yesterday that was heavily involved in the Tour of California. And then when all the news broke about Lance, they said, enough, we're not doing it anymore. So that's unfortunate that part of it's going to take a long time, I believe, to come back. But the second part of this, which I think is still healthy and thriving, is on the local level, and it's with, it's on the local, the slash grassroots level, where I think it's still going strong, and where people are doing it because they love to ride, they see it as a great activity for socializing with other people, as a great way to spend quality time with family, or just as a way to stay healthy without all the pounding that you get from running. And so I think it's still, it's the growth has plateaued in terms of recreational cycling. But I think, there's some young riders coming up that are making a name for themselves in Europe on the pro scene that hopefully will continue and will have similar success and be able to take cycling, back up and into another level again.
Yeah. Just a couple of minutes left. Tell me about what you're doing, trying to get businesses to jump on board. And instead of going to golf or do something like that, how about teams of business people jumping on bikes?
Right. So there's a lot of talk in the wellness, corporate wellness around fitness activities, and there's a lot of metrics that exist to show the value of getting employees away from their desk and into some sort of fitness activity. And as you know, cycling has a unique characteristic to it in that you get a group of 5 or 10 people together out on a ride. Guess what they're going to do? They're going to socialize. They're going to talk. They're going to be interact with each other. All these things that don't exist in the office because technology has made it really easy for us to sit behind, our computer screen in our cubicle or in our office and interact via email and instant messaging. So it forces you to be social with your colleagues. It brings you, ultimately brings an organization, creates more of a team environment, creates more camaraderie. And at the same time, you're promoting a healthy lifestyle with your employees. And companies will benefit from this because, not just kind of the everybody says lower health care costs, lower absenteeism, workers' comp, et cetera. But they're also going to benefit longer term because you're going to have a workforce that is more likely to stay engaged and be more focused at work and put forth that little extra effort because people are the biggest expense of a company. And if you can invest in programs that will keep your employees engaged, keep them healthy, retain them, and also make it easier to attract new employees, those are all wins for companies.
No,
and
absolutely.
On top of that is the new Affordable Care Act is providing incentives for companies to continue to invest in wellness.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at it and saying, well, let's help you business leaders who do love to cycle. Let's bring a program into your company and let's help your employees and your company at the same time.
Yeah, check out Mark's stuff at cyclingceo.com. Mark, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
To have a fighting chance against cold and flu bugs, get the world's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. Fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi with Allicin Plus C. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allicin Plus C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allicin Plus C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allicin Plus C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allicin Plus C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. To order, call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. Or go to AllicinPlus.com, spelled AllicinPlus.com. Get Allicin Plus C from Affinity Health Products.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
The Freeze-Dry Guy wants your attention for very good reason. Going on right now, the Freeze-Dry Guy has assembled the Necessities Unit, a unit package of survival food basics no family should be without. With big survival buck savings, our Necessities Unit includes Mountain House eggs, green peas, and banana slices, plus dehydrated milk, butter, and cheese. All packed in six heavy-duty enameled number 10 cans with a proven 25 to 30-year shelf life. Now the best part, buy one Necessities Unit case for only $203 and get 20% back in survival bucks. Buy two cases at $406, get 25% back in survival bucks. And buy three cases at just $609 and get 30% back in survival bucks. Only from freezedryguy.com and only through the end of the month. While supplies last, prices include free shipping to the lower 48. To order, call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com. The Freeze Dry Guy, the standard for survival.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables, and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
Said we would head to the mailbag as usual. It is overflowing. Remember, you can always shoot us your stuff at americatonight.net. So without further ado, let's
you have
head.
Mail, mistress.
Yes, so anxious to keep his job he is. He is heckling me. Obama's not the only one who gets heckled. I get heckled on my own show. So here we go. This one from Bob listening to us in Vermont. Kate, the gun control debate in the Senate is just making me tired. It's so wearisome. Haven't we had this happen seemingly every couple of years? Nothing ever really changes. Why don't we just leave well enough alone and enforce what we already have on the books? Isn't that part of the problem, that records aren't kept and records aren't forwarded and all that sort of stuff? If they would just get it straight and hire the right people, perhaps we wouldn't have to waste so many hours and so much dough on figuring it all out. All right. You know, there is truth to that, that every couple of years it bubbles up. I can remember when Bush was president, that was, you know, one of the things that would creep out of the corner, just like immigration. And then it would be put back in the toy box, and then it's trotted out again. And whenever there's something horrific that happens, without a doubt, it breaks your heart to think of Newtown, Connecticut, or what happened in Aurora, Colorado. And then the conversation ratchets it up again. But then the same thing happens. It's about the numbers, because in Washington, people have to realize it. It's only about the numbers. You line up a bill and you have to have support for it. You take a vote. And then if it passes, it passes. And if it doesn't, boom, it's back in the bottom, in the basement, or in the toy box again, because it's been chucked out. It doesn't look like this one's going to stay either. Maybe something on the background checks, but a lot of it is starting to also fall apart, too. So the overall gun measure, in talking about illegal gun trafficking, no one's disagreeing there. That would easily get a stamp of approval. But, and even school security would get a stamp. But not so much for the background checks. And the assault weapons are just completely out of it, especially with the Senate, any version that the Senate has. And we'll see, because the debates are just going to keep on going into April. All right, let's move on to another one. This one comes to us from Tomorrow, who says, you know, this peace is possible nonsense. I agree with you, Kate. I don't think it's really true. I think it is just conversation and talking points anymore. But it's not just the talking points of the current president. It's the same thing that we've heard from various other presidents. And you called it a photo op, and it is a photo op. Shaking of hands, the back and forth, the idea that the Gaza Strip, they're going to stop lobbing bombs, and the Israelis are going to make peace with the Palestinians. And then you throw in the curveball, which is Iran. And I also agree with you when you say Netanyahu is going to step on the gas. Yeah, thanks. I think that he is going to step on the gas. It's just a question of when. I don't believe he's going to get talked off of the ledge on this one. He's tired of it, tired of listening to Ahmadinejad, now the supreme leader. And the more, and that's what they're trying to do, I think. They're trying to goad him into making the first step. If he would just take the first step, then they can claim, we didn't fire the first shot, we didn't send any missiles over, it's not us. But I think that this is ripe to explode, unfortunately, I do. Chuck in Dallas says, Kate, I know that you've been talking a lot about drones. You had someone on last week talking about drones in the United States, and there's certainly a lot of pressure for the administration to come clean with what targeted killings could happen on our own soil. Can you imagine, at least in the near future, if that were to happen, the outrage that somebody was taken out at a cafe or walking down the street or perhaps at a restaurant or a library or wherever they might be? I think it would be completely disastrous. Plus, the idea that there might be other collateral damage. Yeah, that's the thing. It's not like an assassin's bullet that's right on target. We're going to take this person out. The idea of a drone coming into a neighborhood. Yeah, there's that drone. Would be, geez, did you hear it? It would be so dangerous. It would be so dangerous and so offensive to go use drones against our own people. So for months, the president, and there was even a big story, blowout story about this in the New York Times, for months our president and his aides have promised that they'll break down the wall of secrecy and work with Congress to come up with some legal framework for drone strikes. And see, that's the problem. There is no legal framework, which is why Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky, you know, made his big whole filibuster thing. That was the focus, to clarify whatever it is, what ultimately is the boundary of using the drones in the U.S. What, you know, what are the possibilities? So there is a big problem trying to come up with a program that's going to be really the heart and soul of our warfare, our arsenal for the near future, for really for any kind of war for years to come, instead of having people using more drones to do that, targeted kills. But they have to be on. They have to be legal. It has to. There has to be some sort of framework. I agree with that. And right now there isn't. That's why human rights activists are pitching a fit over what's gone on in even overseas. And if it happened here in the United States, can you imagine? I think they'll come up with something because there's too much pressure, frankly. All right, this one comes to us from Jake, who listens to us in Austin. And Jake, I think Jake emails us at least three times a week. And this time, Jake kind of surprised me with his own curveball. And he says, "Hello, Kate Delaney and listeners of America Tonight. I have to tell you, I know, Kate, you have a passion for sports, but I think this NCAA basketball stuff is boring. I don't care if Louisville, who's the number one seed, knocks off NCAA, because of course they're going to rattle them. That's like a professional baseball team playing a college team. Who do you think's going to win that, leaving aluminum bats out of the equation?" So, touche. People that want to do the brackets and waste time, good for them. I don't like basketball, and I'm so disinterested in it. Your faithful fan. Yeah, by the way, there was a rout, and that would have been probably the worst game, not surprisingly, 79-48. Harvard was the big game. Harvard upset New Mexico 68-62. And that's a real bracket buster. I don't think very many people had Harvard over New Mexico, which is a better team. So, unfortunately, I'm doing exactly what you didn't want me to do. I'm talking about hoops. Because you think hoops are boring. I'd say if you were going to rank sports, you know, football's number one. There's no question that football, with week in, week out, with fantasy football people and people who are diehard, rabid fans of certain football teams in this country, of the big four sports, it's absolutely football. All right, here's one from Anthony, and Anthony says, "I don't know if you're aware of this or not. How about the idea of black boxes in cars, almost like the planes, Kate? So if you crash or whatever you're doing in the car, it can be recorded. Do you like the idea of being on camera, so to speak, 24 hours a day?" No, I don't like the idea of a black box in a car. What's being said about it, as I think is the just kind of the shroud of secrecy, is, well, if you have a black box and when something happens, we will know what happened, and we can tell who was really at fault in the accident. And gee, on the surface, oh yeah, hey, I've been hit before and I didn't get anything as a result of it. Sure, okay. But are you kidding? I mean, I already don't like the cameras when you're that are posted at the red lights, because sometimes they click off at the wrong time, or it's sort of in that, you're in that yellow zone. And plus, it's too big brotherish for me. But absolutely, a black box in the car, no way, no how. Every place that you go, if you're a teenager, you are so busted because you took the car out of the garage, and they're going to know. And it's easy to find out if everything's being recorded. It's very easy. And it used to be that people would roll back miles on cars, and then they would sell them. They would cheat people. They would tell you however many miles it had, and it'd be some much lower amount than was actually on the speedometer. But if you've got a black box, ooh, that's not going to happen. All right, you know what to do next time around. If you want to vent or just share your thoughts on whatever it is that is tweaking you, send us an email at americatonight.net. ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use EscapeHarassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Over 50,000 satisfied squatting customers can't be wrong. If you suffer from difficult or painful bowel movements, join the thousands who are finding success with the Squatty Potty. Not a cleanse, ointment, or pill, Squatty Potty is a simple, lightweight, yet sturdy footstool that fits around any toilet and elevates your feet. Squatty Potty improves your posture, and that allows proper alignment of the colon. The result is faster, more effective elimination and relief from nagging constipation, hemorrhoids, IBS, and bloating. Squatty Potty is doctor recommended and endorsed, and comes with a 60-day hassle-free money-back guarantee. The Squatty Potty, a healthy step in the right direction. Squatty Potty starts at just $34.95 and can only be ordered by calling 855-628-1099 or through our website, squattypotty.com, spelled SQUATTY potty.com. Squatty Potty, healthy colon, happy life.
Numbers are everywhere. Just pay attention and look around you, and you'll see some of those numbers. You'd be surprised, including this one. How many times will Jay Leno come back to The Tonight Show when he decides he's going to retire, semi-retire? I would say this time the door is shut. NBC is trying to replace Leno with Jimmy Fallon, but it looks like he's not going down without a fight again. If you listen to his monologues, his jokes are aimed toward NBC. In fact, the same day that there were these reports surfacing that Fallon was going to take over, that same day, what Leno said was they were going to move Fallon to Tonight by the fall of 2014, so the Tonight Show would move back to New York from California. So he aimed some pointed things toward NBC. He said scientists say they're getting closer and closer to being able to do Jurassic Park style cloning on extinct species. Things once thought to be extinct can now be brought back from the dead. So there's hope for NBC. It could turn around. Ooh, He's pulling a Conan O'Brien in a sentence. And then he says that tonight is still one of the shows that's performing well for NBC. He noted that New York Magazine's Vulture said that Leno's been taking fire at the Peacock Network all week. On Monday, he compared NBC execs to snakes in a holiday-themed St. Patrick's Day joke. He said, you know, the whole legend of St. Patrick, right? St. Patrick drove all the snakes out of Ireland, and then they came into the United States and became NBC executives. So the move is, it seems to be inevitable, because once that leaks out, that's when it changes. And here's your number. It's the whole 11:30 thing and moving the Tonight Show. The Tonight Show, ABC's Splash, had like 9 million viewers, and the Tonight Show viewership is shrinking. So that's similar to what's going on with the morning show and Matt Lauer. Remember, we had somebody on earlier this week who was interesting, talking about what's the deal with Matt Lauer and what's the deal with the morning show. And he pointed out that he had a 19 Q rating, which is a popular rating for television, means that you're well-liked, that suddenly dipped down to a 9. Ooh. So we'll see how many lives Leno has and if he still somehow hangs on. All right, this is a bigger one. This is a number you care about. Congress avoids the shutdown. Woohoo! After all the threats, Capitol Hill lawmakers finally brought the 2013 rather budget fight to an end on Thursday by approving a bill that ended the threat of a government shutdown minutes before ratcheting up all the partisan warfare over taxes and spending. Here was the vote, 318-109, to send the president a bill funding the government through the end of the fiscal year in September, while easing that pain, that throbbing pain of $85 billion in forced spending cuts that are disliked across the board. So that's pretty big, because it means that the measure is extending current federal funding, will avoid the partial shutdown on March 27th. So March 27th is your number. You're not surprised. We knew this was happening, right? We knew this was happening. Are you surprised that Republicans are looking to red states for some successes? That's what's being said out there. In places like Alabama, Idaho, Louisiana, and Wisconsin, Republicans control the governor's mansions and the legislature. In all, 30 of the nation's 50 governors and 28 of the country's legislatures are Republican. Now with this makeover for the GOP, because of the 2012 election losses, leaders are looking at red states in a hope of replicating some of those victories. It's probably smart. I mean, really, if you're trying to make a big flip in branding, you got to go to the places where you're not. You got to go to the places, you know, where you need to be elected, where you need to get in there and break up the monotony of a Democratic controlled, we'll call it, state. Bill from the border is joining us now on the air, and you can join us too, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Good, Kate. How are you doing?
Hey,
man.
It's
been a while since I spoke with you.
Yes. Last time we spoke, we were talking about what was going on along the border.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, let me just throw this at you real quick. For as much as you just reported that the Congress has come together with a little government save there, it's not as good as it sounds, to be honest with you. Real quick, I just wanted to tell you this, that under the CBP, you have the Border Patrol, and you have Customs and a couple other organizations. Out of that whole sequester, the Border Patrol has been ordered to cut $248 million from their budget, and they have 20,000 agents. Customs has over 80,000 agents, and they've only been told to cut $30 million. Now, check this out. What it's doing is it's causing Border Patrol to have a 40% cut in pay, 40%. Okay. Now, the way that comes around is this, two ways. One is the furloughs, which will equal about 15% of their pay, and then because of a certain integral element of their pay, which is unfortunately named overtime, okay, it's not actual overtime, but it's named overtime, that they arbitrarily cut that. And that's 25% of their pay, okay? Now, even though they came to this little agreement today, they're still looking at cutting the Border Patrol by at least 20%, which is going to come down to they're going to have 25% of their pay taken away.
Wow. How can you live on that? We've had other people call from the DOD and call from other areas of the government telling us similar things about furloughs squinched in time. But 40% or 20% in a short amount of time is outrageous. And the 248, I mean, I knew it was a big chunk and we've talked about that, but I didn't realize that you gave us the great comparison of the 248 to the 30 is amazing for customs, just 30.
Right. Sure, and you know what? I don't really understand what's going on. Everybody's questioning it, but it's in black and white, so it's not like I'm making this up.
Right.
Border Patrol union websites and stuff, this thing is being fought right now. They're doing their best. I don't know. They're up against a pretty tough one here, but I'm not kidding when I say this. We're talking about a massive amount of Border Patrol agents who are going to flat out go broke. You know, you get what you pay for. This is our nation's security here. It's our final line of defense. And you know, a lot of people talk about the immigration thing and the Mexican influx. But that's not what it's about anymore. Matter of fact, the Border Patrol mission statement changed years ago to terrorists, weapons of mass destruction, narcotics, and this and that. So, you know, everybody talks about who cares, it's just the Mexicans, and they're going to make them legal anyway. No. That's not what it's about. So basically what you've just done, and anybody in America can think about this, if they took 40% of your pay away and then told you to do your job, what kind of productivity would you expect?
Terrible productivity because of the worry and the lack of incentive and that you just come in with a hatchet. You know what it is? Somebody told me that what's going on there is that they didn't plan very well for it, and that was not the unions, that they didn't plan very well for it when Homeland Security, with the knowing that the budget acts could fall because they really didn't believe it was going to fall. So now you have to hurry up and find money, and it's the people that get messed up in this whole deal.
Sure. Can I mention one last thing? This is kind of wild.
Sure.
If you look back through our recent history, especially when it comes post 9/11, any right-leaning news media outlet, upon hearing anything negative toward the Border Patrol or our frontline defenses and so on, they would go crazy in defense of them and looking out for the better good. And then they would come with pitchforks and flames, saying, no, they would do that in defense. Well, here's the wildest thing in the world, and it has left every Border Patrol agent literally choking. Well, here's what it is because Obama came out with this big sky is falling warning about sequester and the impact it's going to have. Well, of course, the right wing wants to suppress that whole thing.
And we're out of time. What a way to end this. Wow. Good luck to everyone on the border. That's terrible.
Utopia Silver understands that mainstream medicine healthcare can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. UtopiaSilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. Visit UtopiaSilver.com, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.